It is the Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5, rolling along with some more transfer portal talk, Illinois basketball, anything you want to hit on, 217-359-2255 on the U of I Atlanta Link text line. We discussed Dane Danger hitting the portal. Will he be the only Illini to hit the portal? I think that's a fair question. And why don't we start there, Kyle? We got a lot of different angles to break this thing down. I know somebody asked about Marcus Damask and his waiver. Coleman Hawkins had comments after the game against UConn about his future. Sounds like he's done in Illini uniform. I want to get your thoughts and just throw that around a little bit. And then we can get to maybe some more portal options for the Illini. But with Dane in the portal, what do you make of, and this is, we're speculating here a lot in a lot of senses, can read some tea leaves, can just kind of logically break it down as far as playing time, roles, and all that. But would you imagine that Dane is the last of guys going into the portal from the Illini roster? I will say Dre Gibbs-Lawhorn has been very vocal. One of the guys, admittedly, that with his lack of playing time, with his mom being very vocal on social media, and at one point during the season actually putting on Facebook, I hope he transfers. She also said, I hope Illinois loses the rest of their games. But he has said he's coming back. He had a Twitter post about it. He's had comments to the media over there in Boston that he's all bought in on another year in Champaign. But we have, of course, Sincere Harris. You have Ty Rogers, who I don't think is an issue. Imani Hansberry, Luke Goody, Nicolo Moretti. What do you think, Kyle? Will we see another Illini go in the portal? I think usually the odds say probably.
Yes, I would imagine at least one more enters the portal. And it's just kind of a unique situation that Illinois is in this offseason, because there's certain guys like Ty Rogers, Imani Hansberry, Luke Goody. Like, there's certain guys that it'd be hard to imagine them leaving, and based on everything they've said and how they've kind of bought in, I think you probably aren't super concerned about those guys. But it almost just feels like to me that Illinois' current roster, it wouldn't stun me if any guy hit the portal.
That's
like,
fair.
I just think anyone hitting the portal wouldn't like make me fall to the floor. And I think that's a product kind of a uncertain situation with losing four of your five starters, losing five seniors, and all the guys that you're trying to retain, it's not totally clear what their role is going to be. It's not, and it, no guy that Illinois theoretically has coming back is a guy that you can pencil in and say, I'm positive he's going to play 30 minutes start and be an all conference type of guy. Like, it's, so there's some uncertainty with almost everybody. And to me, in this era, I think, honestly, it'd be wise for every guy to evaluate their own options.
True.
And it's just, you can't blame kids for taking advantage of what the current system allows for. And so I think definitely at least one more will probably end up hitting the portal. And really, to me, nothing will totally surprise me with this current group of Illinois retainees.
I'm glad you mentioned that as far as exercising your options. While someone like Dane Danger, and we assume it with a lot of these other guys that go to the portal, like, it seems pretty clear that AJ Storr is not going to return to Wisconsin. And in a lot of cases, players going into the portal are closing the door on their previous stop and not considering going back. I do think we'll have to see it actually happen to play out this way, but there has been increasing speculation and buzz and people around college basketball, the industry, those that coach in it, expect that more players will utilize the ability to go in the portal to then open up conversations and dialogues with other coaching staff, pretty much like an opt-out in a professional league. And then, of course, you could, like in the pros, re-sign with the team that you were previously with. You do risk, though, by going, once you go in the portal, that place does not have to honor your scholarship. They could pull the funding on your classes like that very semester. They don't have to take you back if you want to come back. So people have to be delicate about how that goes. Now, of course, if you're a bona fide starting caliber player, a star, obviously you wouldn't necessarily have to worry about that. Now, could you rub relationships the wrong way and legacies and that whole kind of deal? Although I think Kofi Coburn could probably tell you that if you're of that caliber, I don't think Kofi, as we sit here today, sometimes people have to be reminded
that
he actually
don't even remember that
he actually went into the transfer portal. But I think that's fair that, like, let's say, just hypothetically speaking, if Ty Rogers wanted to go in the portal and see what other people were telling him, like, as far as role, as far as NIL and all of that, it'd be hard to ultimately blame him. I use him as an example. I haven't heard anything on him actually doing that. If I were to power rank the guys that I thought would stay, he'd be towards the top, if not at the top. So I agree with you, though. The odds usually are that somebody else will. I would just expect that. Sincere's one that, admittedly, I really do question. Now, I asked him in Boston. I had a limited, brief opportunity to interview him. He didn't have a whole lot to say, but I asked him, do you like your situation in Illinois and how that looks? What are you feeling about that? And he said, yeah, I'm in a great situation. And that was kind of just really his answer. It wasn't a pound the fist on the table. I'm for sure staying, but it was kind of just at least a little bit of a affirmation of, he didn't come out and say, well, I'm out, or I wasn't happy this year, or what have you. Not that anybody maybe in that position in the locker room is going to tip their hand, so to speak. I do think in general too, like, even though, like, this happens, I know that by the rules, there's not supposed to be tampering. You're not supposed to have contact with other staffs before you go into the portal. But even before there was even a transfer portal, that stuff happened. So I think that would be fair game to assume that other players are taking the temperature, both at Illinois, around the country, and seeing, whether through their agent, through their coaches, through maybe even themselves, what is this person saying about what it would look like if I played for this team, or what is my NIL value at this place? So I think that's something that could happen. Luke Goody's one. He's our guy, by the way, that I wonder about. I still wonder about. I don't have that one totally figured out. Like, I think that, especially the way he came on in March in the postseason, I know that he loves winning. He loves being a part of winning teams. I do think he's a selfless dude that, I say that about a lot of players. Like, don't get me wrong, guys want to play. I think they do get frustrated when they don't get the roles or the minutes that they want. But I think Luke is willing to be a supporting cast member on a winning team. I think he's loved the fact that he's been a part of some Big Ten titles and going on this deep run. But he's
also already graduated from Illinois.
He's already graduated. He walked at senior day. That was interesting. I know he had his answer on this show about wanting to recognize his accomplishment. But that still makes me scratch my head a little bit on whether there was more to that. And I'm not putting words in his mouth or anything, but it's something you at least wonder. Because he has 1 year left. And I don't think as of right now, I wouldn't say he's a starter on next year's team. Could he go be a starter at somewhere else, like a Butler? Yeah, maybe. It might be something that he would be interested in checking out.
Yeah, that's fair. And it's just kind of the world we're living in now is, I think, guys are going to have options. Guys are going to have people in their ear. Guys are going to hear, especially in the NIL world. Now, maybe certain guys, like, I don't know what Luke Goody would command NIL-wise. Mm-hmm. It's no disrespect to him, but it's just, there's obviously different tiers of NIL priority for schools. But especially NIL-wise now, you're probably hearing some figures thrown in your direction, whether it be from agents that these players have now, NIL agents, mm-hmm. whether it be from, you know, family members, people around you, or just staffs directly. Like you said, that happens.
Yeah, it does.
That happens. So it's, you can't really blame anybody at this point, especially in Illinois' situation now where all these guys we're talking about, there's questions about their role. Like, you guys talked about the Jaden Epps situation last hour. Like, that's a little different because he had a massive role as a freshman and was theoretically going to have a massive role as a sophomore.
Yep.
All these guys that Illinois theoretically could retain either had their minutes go up and down this year, or like in the case of Sincere Harris, who knows where he factors in, who knows where Illinois prioritizes him in the backcourt rotation. They could go land three guard transfers, and all of a sudden Sincere Harris is playing the same role he is as a freshman. He probably doesn't want that after spending a year working. So it's just, I wouldn't be surprised with anything that happens. I know Illinois probably has to approach this offseason recruiting over a lot of these guys because you just don't know. And you also just are probably uncomfortable putting a lot of the, asking too much out of a lot of these guys, and maybe another program will ask that. So I think it's going to be really interesting, and I think a lot of these answers probably won't come for a little while here, because I think, like you mentioned, in the case of Sincere, whoever it is, I think there's probably up until that May 1st date, probably going to be kind of a feeling out process of, oh, let's see who they do bring in. Let's see where I do stand. Mm-hmm. And I also wonder, just on the goodie point specifically, like guy Illinois landed today, Jake Davis, similar skill set to Luke, yes, and similar role, yes, probably on next year's team. So that's something he's probably looking at as well.
I would think so. Although I would assume, of course, you'd have to have it play out in practice, and not that it would be a bad thing. You can have two shooters,
right,
in basketball.
No, it's not to say they both can't be on the roster.
Someone text that at Mike Woodson. he's not aware. But Luke, having the experience in the program, being a senior, I wouldn't think he'd be afraid of competing with Jake Davis, but it's a fair point. Like they have similar skill sets, size with the ability to make shots, and probably in competition in a similar realm of the three or maybe the four, and how that ultimately goes. And I think it's also interesting, like if we were advising, like if say we were NIL agents, Kyle, would you want... I think it's interesting to kind of evaluate with Sincere, say, to go in on the front end. You, of course, wouldn't guarantee your ability to go back if it didn't work out or if you didn't get the opportunities that you thought you'd want. But sometimes spots get taken up. Like if, you know, Cincinnati's looking for a guard and maybe they find their guy. If you're going to wait a few weeks to go in the portal, maybe they find their guy and that opportunity's gone, versus then if you wait it out and see who Illinois gets. Sometimes you get what I'm saying? Like, I think it's an interesting thing to evaluate as a player if you want to go in on the front end at the very start of it versus wait things out. Although, as I've seen it, especially for some talented starting level players, guys that wait, sometimes that then inflates your price.
Paul
your
Mulcahy.
Price tag. Oh, yeah. My God.
How much did he get from Washington?
I don't know what he got.
Like 15-15 and come off the bench at the end of the year.
Yeah, there was talks of like, yeah, you might have to give Paul Mulcahy $400,000 or $500,000. I'm like, oh my goodness. I don't know if he actually got that, but that was the talk of it. So I don't know. That would be kind of an interesting part of it as well. Is there a starter on this team for next year? Of course, it will matter who Illinois goes out and gets. Is Ty Rogers a starter? That's probably the biggest question that I'm asking.
I think yes, theoretically, but the problem with him is just he's so unique in the fact that it really does matter the other four starters to like determine whether he should start. And based on the year he had, I really like him, and I think he brings a lot to the table. I think he's going to keep getting better, but the fact of the matter is he's never going to be able to shoot the ball. So he's not a guy that I look at like, no doubt he should start next year. And that's the case with every single one of these guys that we're theoretically talking about here. Some of them could start in certain lineups, or some of them with a big offseason could make themselves into a guy who's pushing the starting lineup. Like Dre Gibbs-Lawhorn absolutely could start offseason of getting better. Imani Hansberry in the right lineup, if you pair him with a big, I think – could take a jump in the offseason, be a starting caliber player. I think Luke is not going to hurt you as a starter. You probably would prefer to put the roster together where you're not relying on him to be a starter, but I wouldn't feel awful about him taking up one of the five starting spots. And then Ty started every game for an Elite Eight team this year.
Yeah.
So you have guys that I think can do it, but no one that is like a surefire, all right, we're returning this starter and he will start every game next season if he stays. I don't necessarily think you have that guy, and some of the pieces just skill set wise, and whether it's in the front court, knowing you bring in Merez Johnson or just Ty's inability to stretch the floor, I think lineups matter and other guys you bring in matter as well. So it's just such an interesting spot that they're in. You're bringing back theoretically a lot of talented guys, no like proven starting caliber guys. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's such a weird conversation to have, because it's normally you at least have one or two guys that you're banking on, and it feels like there's just an unknown next to almost everybody's name on this Illinois roster right now.
No, that's a good answer. A couple of questions on the U of I Atlanta Link text line regarding Ty Rogers. Brian says, serious question, has Ty Rogers ever shot a jump shot in a game since being in Illinois? I know he hasn't taken a three, a mid-range even, question mark.
I thought he attempted 1-3 as
he
a
did.
Freshman.
Yeah, I think it was the Jimmy V Classic against Texas. I remember him airballing from the corner.
Oh, boy.
And I think that Brad, after the game, said I liked that he took that shot. And I said in my head, I did not like that he took that shot. I think he's taken two jump shots. I think both were last year. And he missed both of them. I don't think he even took... Did he take a jump shot in this year?
The best he ever did was like a 11-foot push shot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's about as much as he did.
I know that he... I think in practice leading up to Spain, he might... Did he hit a three? No, I think he hit like a 12 to 15, like pull-up J, but then he also like airballed a three and... Brett says, you've been around Ty Rogers at practice, pregame warmups. Do you think he can actually shoot the three? I don't. No. The thing is, he doesn't even try.
Like, yeah.
When he goes through warmups, and look, sometimes some players need to know who they are. They got to have the self-awareness of, this is how I get my points. I'm wasting my own time, or I'm messing with my mindset of practicing shots I'm not going to shoot in the game. But in his like individual workouts, he doesn't shoot threes, I can tell you that. And a lot of the ones I saw, especially first half of the year, it was all centered around getting to the rim, different finishes, booty ball. Late in the season, they were practicing some like 10-foot little pull-up shots. Didn't look the best, and they were unguarded. I'm not trying to knock Ty too much. Like, he's a good player, again. And he has improved from the free throw line. But the jumper needs work. I don't know that it'll ever get there to be something that you want him taking those shots.
Teams are still going to play him the same way
until
he shows up and says, I'm going to take 10 threes this game and make three or four of them.
Yeah.
And I just don't see a world where that ever happens.
I mean, yeah, the three ball I agree with. Can he ever get a 12 to 15 foot shot that he could take occasionally? For as hard as he works and for having 2 years left, I would think that that's in the fact that he shot an okay percentage from the free throw line. Wouldn't you think that's something he could do? Like theoretically.
Yeah, and correct me if I'm wrong. Coming out of high school, he wasn't a guy that never shot.
Right.
Like it was a jump shot that you could tell evaluating him. Yeah, this is going to need a lot of work, but it's not that he was afraid to shoot and only his entire high school career took shots within 10 feet. Like he could make some.
Right. No, it's interesting though, because there are like highlights of him earlier in his high school career where he's like taking some threes and making some threes, because of course highlight tapes don't have misses on them.
Right.
So he's made some threes. I watched him in the Mean Streets, and I don't want to go too far down a rabbit hole here. I want to hit some different points, but in watching him in high school, it just was really, it was really interesting how he just got very passive with trying to score outside the paint. He never tried. He was always looking to pass or always trying to drive it, and never really showed any interest in taking a jumper. Is that mental? Is it a serious mechanical thing? I know in talking to people around the program last summer that they're like, we need to get more loft in his jumper. It's too flat. And there were some things that with the release that they were really trying to kind of shot doctor, so to speak. We'll see. We'll see if another offseason can work on it, because he's got a lot of other things that you love. I mean, he's a good athlete, really good offensive rebounder, plays hard. And if you address the guard position better this time around, now you're messing with his positioning again, but have him guard threes and fours, I think that's more ideal than putting him on the perimeter as well.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think he can have a massive role next season and be a huge part. I mean, this is a guy that contributed a lot to this team this year, the 129 games. It's just the jump shot is always going to be a point of discussion for him, because as we saw against UConn, like the fact that Ty Rogers is a guy where going into an Elite Eight game with a chance to go to the Final Four against the number one team in the country everybody shouting at their TV, get Ty Rogers off the floor. We can't play him this game. Like, that's a precarious position for a starter that you're banking the program on to be in. Like, Ty's a useful player. I do think, like you mentioned, it'll help to not be pretending he's your point guard next year in all likelihood. But it's just, yeah, the jump shot is always going to be at the back of your mind because it's just going to limit his effectiveness and it's going to make Illinois easier to guard on the offensive end when he's on the floor. And to, unless, like you said, I think if he could get a 12-foot jumper, that would immensely help matters. Like, that would make a huge difference for him. And you would have to think that it's something he'll try to do over the next 2 years.
Still want to talk about Coleman Hawkins. I still want to talk about Marcus DeMas briefly. We've kind of touched on this before as far as his waiver status, but I will share what I know, at least on that front. And then some more portal options, the idea of AJ Storr, a big name, big man went into the portal just now. We'll hit on that, especially on the note of Dane Danger being gone now. So there is a big opening there for the Illini at the five, but we do got to catch a break. That's a tease. We'll talk about all of that when we return. This is The Drive.
Get ready. Logic Community is having an open house, an epic open house, Monday, April 1st from 11 to 4. But there's more. From the 1st to the 5th, you can come in at Logic Community and have a free day of workspace free. Don't miss out on this incredible opportunity to join the Logic Community family. Mark your calendars April 1st for the open house and April 1st to the 5th, come work for a day for free. Logic Community, where minds meet and ideas ignite. See you there. Go to Logic, L-O-D. GIC.work.
Bet like the pros with the world's largest sports book right at your fingertips. Circus Sports is now available in Illinois. Hi, I'm Derek Stevens. I've been a lifelong sports bettor and I'm the owner of Circus Sports. We're excited that the Circus Sports app is now ready for action. Experience big app bets with high betting limits, tight money line splits, and more. Now you can download, fund, and bet like a pro from anywhere in Illinois. Download your new bookie today at circusports.com. If you or someone you know may have a problem with gambling, call 1-800-GAMBLER or text ILGAMB to 833-234.
Champaign Park District's Dance Arts presents Snow White the Ballet, coming to the Virginia Theater Friday, April 5th at 7 and Saturday, April 6th at 2. Experience the beautiful story of true love as it unfolds on stage. Snow White the Ballet, April 5th and 6th at the beautiful Virginia Theater. Get your $16 ticket now at 356-9063 or stop by the Virginia Theater, 203 West Park in Champaign.
Illini fans, this year we celebrate the 100th anniversary of Memorial Stadium for the 2024 Fighting Illini football season. Season tickets for the 2024 football season are on sale now, and Illini fans who renew their season tickets by February 1st are eligible to win amazing prizes, memorabilia, and experiences. Secure your season tickets for homecoming, Dad's Day, and a special rededication of Memorial Stadium on October 19th against Michigan. Visit FightingIllini.com for more information.
You need the world's fastest mower to create your free time. With Dixie Chopper, what you got to look at is the warranties. Dixie Chopper, all of their models, you're getting a 3-year unlimited hours bumper-to-bumper warranty. That's on the whole thing. Then your commercial units, you get up to a 3-year no-hour limit or 5-year 3,000-hour limit on the drivetrain. So that'd be your engine, your two gearboxes, transmissions, and all that.
Well, that sounds pretty solid.
Yes, it is. Yep. Things break, and even if it's built well like a Dixie Chopper, you need to have that covered, and you get what you pay for, basically.
And I can go see Andy and get on one of those things, couldn't I?
Yes, you can. You can go see Andy at Dedicated Diesel at 1313 Triumph Drive in Urbana. You can reach him through Dedicated Equipment on Facebook or call him at 217-328-0562. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
You as well. Too. Tim Onstott, Yale Frex Trucking, Dedicated Diesel, and Championship Barbecueologist.
A tradition of excellence over 150 years in the making. At Busey Bank, we're committed to building relationships that span generations. Wherever your journey in life leads you, we are with you along the way, creating a legacy for you and your family. Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth, since 1868, proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
By now, you've all heard the expression, when you turn the key and the car won't run, call 367-9481 for PDR Automotive. They are what's best for your truck or car. They are PDR. But who are they? They, the PDR staff, understand that a name is only as good as the people that represent it. The PDR staff has more than 335 years of combined automotive experience, several employees now on staff for more than 25 years. PDR, more than just a name. Family owned and operated, now celebrating over 50 years in business.
Pia's is open. Catch all of your favorite MLB games on their big screens. Root on your favorite team wearing your Cubby Blue or your Cardinal Red. 1609 West Springfield in Champaign. Pia's offers not only a huge outdoor seating area, but indoor seating as well. Enjoy daily specials. It's the home of the Slugger Burger with buckets of beer and wings. Experience food, drinks, and fun at one of Champaign's best sports bars near Springfield and Madison, Champaign. Open 7 days a week. It's Pia's. Urbana Park District needs you this summer. Crystal Lake Family Aquatic Center is now open, and a few more lifeguards are needed. No experience, no problem. Aquatic staff will train you and get you certified. This is a great job for those 15 years of age or older and adults looking for a side gig or seasonal job. To apply, go to urbanaparks.org and fill out an application. If you have questions, call the Park District, 217-367-1544. Urbana Park District, you belong here. urbanaparks.org.
Hey, let me tell you about Busey and spring break travel. You're going to want to have access to your bank account, and Money Pass is a great thing with Busey's mobile app. Two ways. Busey makes your banking hassle-free with 37,000 ATMs nationwide, including 3,400 in Illinois, Indiana, Missouri, and Florida. There's no need to sign up, no need to participate. Take advantage of the savings and locate a MoneyPass ATM near you. Download the Busey mobile app as well. View balances, transfer funds, pay your bills, pay another person. Deposit checks directly from your mobile device as well. Other online banking tools, there's Busey's eBank, there's eStatements, and Busey's Bill Pay that you're going to want to check out. No more checks to write or postage to buy. Convenience, time-saving, safe, and secure. From surcharge fees, from surcharge-free ATMs to the Busey mobile app and beyond, Busey keeps you connected to your accounts from coast to coast. Visit Busey.com. Busey, member FDIC. Back on the drive with Tim Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. I like the work from home drop because I could actually work from home now. No longer on the road. I know Illinois fans wish. Piper, wish you're going to Phoenix. I know. Me too. Kind of. All right. Anyways,
let's be honest. No beat reporter covering a team in the East region should have even pulled up Phoenix.
No flights. No.
With UConn sitting in the region.
Don't look at Airbnb. You're right. You're right. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. And then when we got to the doorstep there and then just met Goliath, the team that is currently like minus 200, minus 210 to win the title. Can't even make money trying to bet them at this point. So
it is unfortunate, though, and I get it. It's the tournament, and you've got to play good teams. But if Illinois played Alabama or Clemson with a chance to go to the Final Four, if they played Duke or NC State with a chance to go to the Final Four, heck, if they played Tennessee, Purdue probably would have been tough, but almost anyone else, I think, the way Illinois had been playing, I think they would have had a heck of a chance to get to Phoenix.
It's true. It's true. I do think Illinois, of course, the matchup going against Klingon was just different. Of course, you'd face that with going against Edie again, but maybe there just the familiarity there would have allowed them to be a little bit more comfortable and confident.
I'll say I think if Illinois had met Purdue, they also probably fall short. Yeah. Probably don't get blown out by 25.
But I agree. Yeah,
that would be the other one that probably would have halted them.
It just felt like a good part for as good. I think UConn's a machine. A good part of that second half, just going from you're on the cusp of getting blown out to this game's over with 12 minutes left was a lot of self-inflicted stuff with Illinois.
Yep.
Unfortunately. And just didn't have it. They didn't have it. They didn't have the best game plan, and they ran into an offensive machine.
And listen,
and defensive machine.
Brad Underwood did a phenomenal job this year, and I absolutely love Brad Underwood. But my man, I don't know if you got a chance to see because you were there, but his interview.
I heard about it.
His interview. My dad and I were watching the game together, and we just had a look of disgust on our face after they wrapped that interview with him up, where he goes. They asked a question. I think it was Andy Katz was the one.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, you know, Klingon's really making an impact early. How are you going to adjust? And he goes, Brad says, we're going to keep going right at him. If he blocks 100, he blocks 100. Famous last words from Brad Underwood, because he darn near blocked 100 by the end of the game. So that, to me, was just really perplexing. But doesn't take away from anything else that he's done with this program or with this season, building an unbelievable offense and a 29-win team. But just frustrating, because there's no question that Illinois could have been more competitive had they been better prepared and had a better game plan, in my opinion.
No doubt. No doubt. Coleman Hawkins had an issue battling Klingon as far as when UConn was at the offensive end. Coleman Hawkins, after the game, said that's probably his last go in an Illini uniform. I pull up the quote. We wrote an article on that on the Illini Inquirer. He said, I think that this was my last year in an Illinois uniform. I think that time comes where every good thing must come to an end. I feel like I put a lot into this program. It's not against anybody. I'm a senior, obviously, so I have options. But me personally, I feel like I want to really start developing and getting a look at and getting a lot better at basketball. I feel like I've got to take the next step to get there. He then goes on to say, and really trying to develop my game and getting better, I feel like that next step is at the next level. So, of course, trying to go to the NBA, I think projected-wise, I don't have the latest mocks pulled up, but late second-round pick probably is the most common thing that I've seen. We've talked about Coleman's career. I'm not trying to resurface that, but just the idea that he's not going to take advantage of the COVID year, which I always thought was a long shot anyway, at least for Illinois standpoint. Do you think that he would for another team? I imagine my gauge on it just seems like he's done his thing at Illinois. He's ready to move on. He, of course, wants to play in the NBA, wants to make that step to the next level. And I think as long as he gets a feel that he'll have a decent chance to get drafted, that's the direction he's going to go. What do you make of it?
Yeah, I think it's time for him. He's done everything he could possibly do for Illinois. Led him to an Elite Eight now. He's spent 4 years here. And, you know, we've mentioned it plenty of times on the show, just a total program guy that has done it the old-fashioned way, where he didn't have a big role, and his role just kept growing. He kept getting better every single season, and now he's an all-conference guy on a really good team and will forever be loved by this fan base. And I think it's just time for him. I don't think he can gain much from a fifth year. He's one of those that, you know, is he going to get drafted highly? Probably not. But I think he will have every opportunity with his skill set and the way he improved and the way he shot the three this year. I think he's going to get every opportunity to be, you know, in summer league with a team and have a chance to be on at least like a two-way contract in the NBA. And you're hurting yourself by coming back to me to college in general, because this is as weak a draft class as you'll find.
It's true.
Really, really weak class. Best opportunity he'll have to get drafted. You come back, and we mention it with every player. Older players are not liked by the NBA, so getting a year older is not going to help him. And what is he really going to showcase that he hasn't? I mean, he improved his three-point percentage to 38% this year, and that was the big thing that he needed to focus on. And yeah, could he maybe play his natural position of four and look a little better defensively and maybe not be exploited as hard as he was? Sure, but these NBA scouts do this for a living. They see through that. They've seen, there's plenty of tape of him playing the four. They realize what the problem was defensively for Illinois this year, that it wasn't him, it was scheme based. And so I don't know if there's really much he can gain from coming back. It's one of those where it's time for him, and I think the wise decision for him would be to finally move on. And it's been an unbelievable 4 years that I think you're messing with it if you're trying to come back and squeeze a fifth out of it, and sure, it would hurt his future.
Yeah, no, I agree with all that. And he did answer a lot of the questions about his game as far as the three-point shooting, like you mentioned, just overall consistency. Like, I felt it was pretty steady for him to be in double figures over a large stretch. I lost track of the stat of how it ended up playing out, but I would guess that he was probably a double-figure scorer in 20 of Illinois' last 25 games, and rebounding was decent. Yes, defensively, I think it was a lot more him playing out of position. Yes, as a five, is out of necessity for Illinois to play the way they wanted to offensively. And I don't think you worry about how Coleman was in drop coverage or how he was in one-on-one post-ups. Like, he's going to be probably a four at the next level, how that works out. And like you mentioned, scouts and teams evaluating that can fire up what he did against Keegan Murray in that Iowa game a few years ago, and or just getting switched on a Tyson Walker or Boo Booey earlier in this season. So I know that Dan says no freaking way Hawkins is an NBA player. I mean, how, even if you're right, I don't know that another year changes that reality. Now, he fits the modern game. He fits the spacing game. He fits the ability to, as a big guy, have skill to him, can do something off the bounce, can pass it some, can guard in space. I do think he's going to get his shot at the NBA. I do think he, even if he doesn't get drafted, he'd be signed to a two-way contract or signed to a training camp, a summer league. He's going to be on a summer league team. He'd been in a training camp. He'd have a shot. At the very worst, he'd be in the G League with a affiliation of an NBA franchise. So I fully expected this to be Coleman's last year coming in at every point during this season, and for him to say that now. I know that, you know, Kofi ended up saying he was done and then ended up coming back because the NIL, and could Illinois fork over $500,000, $600K to Coleman to say come back, we'll pay you more than a two-way? They could. I don't know that they will. Would you do that if you were Illinois? Would you offer him that big of a bag to try to come back?
Probably, knowing how important he is. And I think you could put him in a better position even next year if you pair him with whether it's just Merez Johnson coming in and Hansberry, or you go get a transfer big that fits him. Like, I think he could be a stud next year. But I would understand from Illinois' perspective if they'd be apprehensive to do that, because let's be honest, Coleman Hawkins isn't like an all-conference first-team guy. Like, that.
Sure.
The guys you're normally saying, let's get to 500,000 to bring back, are probably a guy you think can compete for conference player of the year or mm-hmm. be like a bona fide all-conference guy. And while I think Coleman Hawkins does a lot for a team that doesn't necessarily show up in the overall numbers, as we've talked about many times, I would understand being a little apprehensive about that and maybe just wanting to kind of move this core on and try to bring in a new roster. So I don't know. And then
I think Coleman's probably ready to move on too.
I think so. And then I guess the only other question I would beg is, let's say Coleman doesn't get the feedback he wants, or if certain scouts tell him, like, actually, you know what, one more year in college, if you do this, this, and this could actually benefit you, and Illinois maybe doesn't fork up a huge amount of money, then guess what? There's one more option for a guy. So I don't know. I don't know. Ultimately, I think he'll enter the draft.
Yeah, I think so.
I feel like you just have to mention it with everybody.
No, you do. No, I get it. And it was something that he, you know, I don't know that he fully considered, but in talking to some people around him, there was the idea of, hey, this is an option on the table while he was weighing his options last offseason as well. It wouldn't be crazy. Like, we could go there. Like, if he wanted to, you know, what if he teams up with – is Sky Clark committed to UCLA? Apparently that's where he's going.
I didn't see that confirmed anywhere, but
– UCLA could play at his dad's alma mater of San Diego State, go to Kansas and be the four-man to Hunter Dickinson's five-man. Wouldn't that be something?
Can we get Hunter out of college, though? Like, come yeah. on, man. Let's go.
Speaking of getting out of college, Marcus Dumask with a eligibility waiver – it sounds like that's in the works and has been, that they're in pursuit of that. That Marcus has interest in coming back to Illinois. It's we've touched on this before that during the COVID year he had an injury shortened season. Kyle has hit on it though with Cam Spencer kind of having a very similar case, a previous denial of the NCAA. I think it's an open and shut for NCAA to say, yes. Look, you played 4.5 years. You got your fifth year here. This past year, Illinois was your COVID year. We're not going to grant you another one. I've been vocal. I don't want to go down the rabbit hole of telling you why people don't need to play 5.5 years, why we don't need college basketball full of 25-year-olds. And I would love to watch Marcus again. He's a phenomenal player. He's awesome to cover. He'd be great for Illinois. It makes total sense why Illinois would try to explore it, why Marcus from a financial standpoint, like Marcus Damask could be a guy that Illinois would maybe be willing to give close to $500,000 to come back. But more than likely, we probably, and even talking to people around the program, they're not holding their breath on this.
I haven't given it any thought because
I'm with you.
I think the NCAA has already shown that they will not grant waivers for COVID year things. There's already been cases, whether it's Cam Spencer or even other guys that maybe haven't been as public about it, that anything that happened during that COVID year, you're already getting that year back. So Correct. We're not going to then give you a sixth year to make up for that. You already used that free year.
Yep.
So it's unfortunate for guys that if you got hurt the year after and now you're playing 6 years, but that's just the precedent they've sent.
I think it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
It's the right. You could even have the argument in hindsight, should everybody have gotten a free COVID year? But then would Illinois have gotten to the Elite Eight? So, of course, yes, absolutely they should have, and I'm glad they did. All right. Let's catch a break. Sorry, me and Kyle are back on the floor together for the first time in a while. That was my bad. Let's catch a break, and then we will hit on some other targets out there. I will tell you the big man that just entered the portal. Could Illinois be involved? Will he be heading to another Big Ten school? It's very possible. Who are some other targets and just initial thoughts for the Illini as we close out the show? If you want to weigh in, you can. 217-359-2255 on the U of I Atlanta Link text line. We'll be back. This is The Drive.
I'm Justin Ike, co-owner of Fred's Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, Electric, and Underground.
So, Justin, tell me what you see as typical when it comes to sewer repair. Give me a scenario.
Your sewer's backed up and somebody comes along and says, you need this repair for X amount of dollars. Here's my price. And you don't think to go looking for another company or a second opinion because you don't feel like you have time.
So is it possible that you might get charged a little more because it's kind of a desperate moment? Do some companies do that?
Oh, absolutely they will. They know you're in a pinch. Typically, if you call us, me or Will can be out there within an hour to look at that problem for you. Whether you call me first or you call me second, make sure you give me a call.
Anything else, Justin?
You can always trust Fred's.
Great to know. Thank you. That's Justin Ike, the co-owner of Fred's Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Electric, and Underground. If you want more information about this great 45-year family-owned company, just go to fredscu.com. That's fredscu.com.
Local, personal, trusted. Hi, this is Atta Durakan with First Federal Savings Bank of Champaign-Urbana, and we've been serving Champaign County since 1908. Our institution is safe, strong, and stable. We operate on a foundation of responsible and sound practices, and you can rest easy knowing we're your bank. Rated 5-star superior by Bauer Financial, Inc., fast, friendly, and local. With local loan decisions and underwriting, if you're not already banking with us, give us a try, and we think you'll love it here. First Federal Savings Bank, 356bank.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS. 435-120.
Welcome to Dick Van Dyke Appliance World.
Hi, I'm looking for a refrigerator.
When you buy from us, you get the whole store.
Oh, yeah, well, I just need a refrigerator. Don't need the whole store.
But you get it, the whole store.
My kitchen is only about this big.
You get me.
Hello.
All those delivery, installation, and service technicians in back.
Wow, all those people?
The Dick Van Dyke 5-10-year protection plan, which means in the unlikely event something goes wrong in the first 5 years, your repair cost is nothing.
Nothing?
10 years parts coverage on the major components.
Looks like I'm getting more than a refrigerator today. How much does this whole store cost?
Nothing.
Come on.
For real. We guarantee to beat any competitor's deal, all that other stuff we talked about, like our service tax.
And your 5-10-year protection plan.
All included.
I'm Dennis Freakin, chairman of Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. And when we say you get the whole store, we mean the whole store. Wow!
Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. When you buy from us, you get the whole store.
Your lawn is an important investment. Let Spring Green take care of that lawn. Your local, family-owned and operated Spring Green has been committed to beautifying your neighborhood through quality service and professionalism. Spring Green's full program customers are backed by their guarantee of satisfaction. Smart Money Magazine reports that consumers value a home with a well-maintained lawn and landscape up to 11.3% higher than the base price. Why don't you call Spring Green today, 359-2111, or visit them at spring-green.com.
He's part of the law firm, football star Keith Randolph, on why he chose to live at Pacifica on Green.
One, it's close to everything. They have the best landlord in Champaign. Well, this is like, she's like the mother of the apartment building. It's really nice. It's brand new, nicely furnished. You know, everything's just nice. I mean, at least check it out. You know, the rents are very reasonable. There's a lot of additions into it. There's a game room, coffee room, yoga room. It's everything you want.
Visit PacificaOnGreen.com.
Have you ever looked at a junk truck and said, man, that truck is pretty? Two men in a junk truck, trucks are pretty. They're pretty big, so they can handle large jobs. They're pretty reliable. Two Men in a Truck has been recognized as a trusted leader in the moving industry for over 35 years. Now we are proud to offer that same reliability to junk removal, and they're pretty fast. When you're ready to let some things go and that you don't need, you don't want to wait 3 weeks. You want it gone now. Go to twomenandajunktruck.com and make room for what matters most.
And now, Kelsey Briggs, owner of Salon 105 in Mahomet.
We have a luxury destination salon located out here in central Illinois. And we have stylists here for everybody and any need. We have a very wide range of stylists that can cover any needs. There is somebody that can provide any services from a perm to a balayage to extensions and everything in between. Every stylist that works here is certified in Bello Haven hand-tied extensions. And we do a lot of education. We bring in high-level educators from all over the world and invite local salons to come out here and learn. So not only do we welcome clients here, but we also welcome other stylists or salons in the area to come and learn.
To book your appointment at one of the premier salons in central Illinois, go to salon-105.com. That's salon-105.com.
Thank you for choosing Two Men in a Truck. How may I help you?
Hey, we're moving, and I have a strange situation here. We need to be out of our house by 10 a.m., but our closing on the new house isn't until 1 p.m. Is that something you guys do?
That's not strange at all. Two Men in a Truck has completed over 9 million moves. We have a solution for that.
Not sure how your move is going to work? Go to twomeninatruck.com to start your free estimate. Twomeninatruck.com.
Here's what new customers are saying about Interstate Battery.
It's nice to see capable and helpful associates. They did a top-notch job.
They were easy to talk to and explained everything.
Service was prompt and I was a walk-in. Total service time was only like 20 minutes. I highly recommend Interstate Batteries.
Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. How much is dependable worth? Experience them for the first time at 2504 North Mattis. Way out there, but worth the drive. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Visit InterstateBatteries.com.
All right, let's go rapid fire here, finishing up on the drive here. Plenty of time as we go along to talk about portal guys. It's going to be a long offseason, fellas, especially I would imagine someone like, let's start here, AJ Storr, declared from the draft, probably going to go through the process. If you think back to last offseason, I should say, even though there is no such thing as an offseason, Ray J. Dennis, I think committed late May, thereabouts.
Can we not have another situation like that?
Hell yeah.
Let's get the roster set by like May 10th.
I would like to not cover a recruitment that was like that. And just could be a long time for some of these guys that will go through that side of things and then make their decision. So the portal window, you have to be in the portal by, what is it?
May 1st?
May 1st, I believe, but that doesn't mean you have to make a decision by then. You just have to be in the portal.
There's going to be so many NBA guys that don't even start going into decision mode till June. I don't know when the draft withdrawal date is, but that's got to be like late May or something.
Right. Usually at least the middle of May. I have to pull up the dates exactly. So let's do this. Let's run through a couple of these. I will share the name of the big man. It is Vlad Golden, by the way. FAU, talented player. Now, is he just going to follow Dusty May to Michigan? Potentially. There's a lot of speculation as far as Golden, John L. Davis, with Elijah Martin. Now, I don't know that all three are just going to be automatic checkmark to go to Michigan, but...
Real quick, May 29th is the withdrawal date for the NBA draft this year.
Okay. Yeah, it could be late. Late decisions on some of these, potentially. Not to say that even if they were, that some of the liens or deals or what have you aren't already pretty well figured out. What do you think about Vlad Golden? Should Illinois make a run there with Dane being gone? Should we just expect him to go to Michigan? What do you think about that one?
I think we should expect him to go to Michigan.
I agree with that, yeah.
I feel like that one's one of those that is probably going to be pretty clear. Now, I think with him, I would be curious if there does become like an NIL bidding war because he's a beast. Like, yeah. Especially defensively, he's like a clinging type of defensive impact. I mean, you even got a taste of it, really. I know probably hard to remember because Illinois dominated offensively in MSG, but his on-off numbers in that game, he got in foul trouble, only played like 16 minutes or something, but he was like a plus 8 or something on the court in Illinois, and he was like a minus 15 or whatever the plus-minus numbers were when he was on-off. But his defensive impact, his rim protection is fantastic, and then he's got some offensive game too, averaged 15.5 points and good rebounder. I mean, he's an impactful center for a high-major contending team, but I would imagine Dusty May has probably made like 6 calls to him already. So it's going to be a tough one.
We'll see what that Michigan NIL bag ultimately looks like.
What about admissions there, too? Can he get all his FAU guys in?
There's admissions. I wonder what year was Golden in school? Because their big issue was the credits.
Guys that hadn't graduated
yet.
Yeah,
right.
He might be a grad.
Okay.
I'll check.
Golden, I always forget that he originally was at Texas Tech, same time as Terrence Shannon, right?
Yes.
Then he goes to FAU. Good player.
Yeah, so he'll be a fifth-year guy, but
okay.
I don't know, because he has been at 2 schools, if he necessarily will have graduated yet or not, so I don't know.
Got time to hit more players as we go along in the week, but I mentioned him, AJ Storr. I think it makes a ton of sense for Illinois. They're going to have a lot of money to be able to throw at him. Previously committed to the Illini, although I know that the relationship to Chin Coleman was a big part of that. But just to step into the shoes of Terrence Shannon from a role standpoint, from an NIL standpoint, to know that it's close to home, the development of both Shannon and Io is kind of bigger guards and how they can feature him and whatnot. Now he's going to be wanted by... I would imagine Kentucky's going to be in there. Kentucky has a lot bigger NIL bag than Illinois does. Not to say they're going to give him $2 million. While I think Illinois could push the upper 750, maybe close to a mil if they needed to range. I think Illinois is probably the early favorite for Storr if I'm forecasting it. And I'd love to have him. I think he's worth making a huge push. Some out there aren't as sold as I am. He was just a sophomore at Wisconsin, almost having a first-team All-Big Ten type of season. If you look on paper, his stats as a sophomore at Wisconsin are pretty darn comparable to what Io DeSumo's looked like as a sophomore at Illinois. I think Storr's a no-brainer.
Totally agree. I don't think you could picture a better Terrence Shannon replacement if you tried to pick one out from the country than him, based on skill set and based on just the fact that, I mean, he's just such a dynamic athlete. He's got a lot of similar traits to what Terrence had as an underclassman. And I think, theoretically, I know it's based on both his history of moving around and also his potential NBA future. Mm-hmm. It might not work out this way, but you theoretically have 2 years with a guy that was just pushing all Big Ten first team. And you need a superstar in this portal cycle. If you don't get a star caliber player, the roster is going to have a lot of question marks. And AJ Storr would be that and has already proven he can be that in the Big Ten. I'm all for that. I think that needs to be priority number one for Illinois as long as they feel they have a chance.
Fully agree with that. More time to break him down, break down other options for the Illini as we go along. Appreciate everybody listening. It was great to be back in studio talking Jake Davis.
Did you get here okay, or did you need the directions?
It was all good. I remember the drive. The drive. I'm back and don't plan on being gone for a while. So we are going to be off for Cardinals baseball, I think, Wednesday and Thursday. Is that correct?
Yep.
But be back tomorrow. Everybody, we'll talk to you then. Portal, Illinois basketball. Who knows what the next happening will be tomorrow, but we'll be here to cover it. Until then, everybody have a great night. We're out. It's The Drive.